Keith McCants joins us via the telephone. Keith, welcome back to Tuscaloosa. You're in the game on 99.1 WDGM. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you very much, man. It's good to be back, man.
Well, the fans, tell you what, we started talking about getting you on, and you know, we were looking at this date and looking at Derek Thomas, and what better guy that can help us understand the impact that Derek Thomas made on the game of college football?
Man, I'm going to tell you something. Players like Derek Thomas have changed the game, and not only in college, but in professional sports as well. And why he is not being put in the Hall of Fame, man, it beats me. I beat my brain up wondering why. Is he talking about a guy who had 27 sacks in a single season? Man, I'm going to tell you something. Derek Thomas had offensive coordinators not only on the college level, but on the pro level, very mind-boggling, changing their whole offensive scheme. And when one player can stand out and make you do that, man, that man deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Keith, I know I want to talk about your playing days in Tuscaloosa, but I want to go back and just sort of ask you, because you played the position. You understand what it takes to be a great dominant player in the SEC. What made him so special as a football player?
Well, you know, a lot of people don't know what makes players who they are today. Derek had a working ethic that was beyond anything and everybody. This guy used to get me up at 3:30 in the morning. He's like, "K. Mac, this is what it's gonna take to make it in the league, and not just make it, but stay in the league." We was in college, man, pushing Broncos around. We ran stadium steps. We ran with the DBs and wide receivers. You know what I'm saying? This guy's work ethic was unbelievable, remarkable. And he helped me along the way and to get where I got. Man, I'm telling you, me, Derek Thomas, and Cornelius Bennett, we are three great linebackers that all have different styles. Now, to break it down, Derek Thomas was a finesse pass rusher. He could switch it up on any guy. Cornelius Bennett, this guy, he can go sideline to sideline and stuff holes, cover right back out of the backfield. Me, I just did a little bit of both, whatever they did. And I'm telling you something, Derek Thomas, out of the three of us, probably was the best linebacker out of all of us. And not only in college, but he was one of the best in the pros. He was the best in the pros. Now, Lawrence Taylor was good. He was great. Derek Thomas stayed alive. No doubt in my mind that he would hold the record today.
We're talking with Keith McCants. He played at the University of Alabama. And no doubt, Keith, we want to talk about what you're doing these days. Update us on what Keith McCants is enjoying these days away from the game.
Well, I'm down in Tampa, Florida right now, and I'm going to some class. I'm taking classes. I do a little bit of motivation speaking. I give my testimony on all the bad health that happened in my life. My motto is that the difference between a smart man and a smart man learns from his mistakes, a wise man learns from other people's mistakes. And what I'm doing, my nonprofit organization, is going around different high schools and colleges and even some NFL teams, churches. I give my testimony all my life, how God has changed me. And it's because there's so much happening in college football today, happening in high school. It's drugs in the NFL. It's the concussions, the bounties going on, it's drugs in college, and who best to tell people about this than somebody who's been through it firsthand? And only by the grace of God that I was touched and delivered from that. And God did something for me that I couldn't do for myself, and I acknowledge that, and I'm trying to acknowledge that all over the world.
Keith, as we look back at the 30-30, and I watched it again today as I was preparing for your interview, do you feel like that did a fair job of illustrating an issue that is in professional athletics? Do you feel like they were fair?
It did okay. They got their point across. The thing is, it's much deeper, a lot deeper than 30-30. And that's what I display when I go out to give a motivation speech or I tell about my life. I don't know about nobody else, but I know about Keith McCants, and I can tell you about the downfalls, the ups and downs, and the twists and turns in my life journey that I have to take. And see, what a lot of players don't know, life after football is more devastating than anything, because you're taking off that pedestal, you're not getting all the attention anymore. And what my job is to teach players how to live life on life term and accept who they are instead for what they are. And you may be able to go out there and touch other people's lives. If you've got the ability to do that. But know this, you're no better than nobody else. You're just a human being. Because when the fame go, the money go, the wife, the children go, and a lot of players cannot handle that life on life term. With the concussions, like Junior Seau, one of my best friends, took his life. Andre Waters took his life. Bobby Futrias took his life. Jeff Ong took his life. You got too many deaths occurring in the sports world. And this is what I'm saying. I tried to take my life. I did it twice. But God said my life wasn't for me to take. And why he left me, I want to do the will of God and touch lives across the country, one way or another. And I'm glad you talked about this because my book should be coming out soon. And I tell you what, it's going to be on fire, brother. It's going to be on fire. And if you can read, I'll try to put my book in every high school and college in the country.
Keith, when you explain your story, because you were a top five pick in the NFL draft, and the story of the 30-30 pointed out the millions and millions of dollars that you made. You talked about up against life struggles, attempting to commit suicide. You look back, when you tell that story to current athletes, do you get their attention?
Oh, yeah. I think I reached over 360,000. I got over 360,000 funds after that 30-30, and a lot of professional team was authorized to watch it. And LeBron James and the different team, Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Dolphins, they were sort of watching, pay close attention to what I had to say. Because one thing I know is working for the Lord, I got to keep it real at all times. I got no problem with that. I got no problem about my past because I'm not nothing near what I used to be. And I got to do this. I got to spread the word of God, let people know that I can, through my actions and my experience, what I give hope. I give hope, man, just from telling my story. And that's a beautiful thing when somebody calls you and say, "Hey, man, you helped me. Hey, you saved my life." I had professional attorneys, high-profile attorneys from California call at, I ain't gonna say Lance Lowe. I had a lot of people reaching out to me saying that I touched their life with my story. And that right there motivates me to continue to do something and do it big in the name of Jesus.
Keith, as we look at your story and we look at many others, I was looking at so many different players that was featured on the 30 for 30, the ESPN. No doubt that really brought the attention or brought the attention to the situations you guys were talking about. But as fans, do we really know what goes on behind the scenes in the NFL? I mean, the emotional side of playing college football, the fame of putting Keith McCants on a pedestal, and no doubt talking about those quarterback sacks and those quarterback pressures, those great tackles. But does fans really understand what it's like to really be a professional athlete, and not just professional, but collegiate athlete as well?
And the fans have no idea. You out there on that field, man, you're like a gladiator. You got a lot of pressure in college football to perform up to the ability, especially playing not only at the University of Alabama, but at the SEC period. Collegiate football has gone to be bigger and better than the National Football League. It's a big business, and they make way more money than the National Football League. The thing is, by National Football League, when you're playing for money, almost anything goes. All the morals go out of the window. It's like you sold your soul to the devil, and now you're playing for money. And I don't think they can understand that, because what goes on behind those closed doors, the fans would never know. But they don't know in my book when it come out.
Keith, when exactly are you aiming for your book to be released?
Well, it's in editing right now, and I got a lot of companies right now, so we're going back and forth, definitely, and with they go on monitoring and everything, and they'll let me know in the next week or two.
Okay.
So, but I'll tell you what, when it does, you'll be one of the first to know.
Okay. Keith McCants right now joining us, legendary Crimson Tide player, played in the backfield or linebacker unit with Derek Thomas. And let's go back and let's talk about current day for a couple of minutes. Three out of the last four, national championships, have walked through Tuscaloosa. As a guy that is alumnus of the University of Alabama, you have to take a huge sense of pride in what's happening in T-Town.
Man, I'm going to tell you something. Nick Saban has come in there and, man, and shocked the world what he has done with them kids. A lot of people don't even know the technique or the tactics that you have to have to carry on some stuff, that kind of success in your life. And a lot of times, a head coach's job ain't just coaching the players. It's coaching the coaches as well. And one of the things that Nick Saban does that all the great ones have done, like Vince Lombardi, Bill Parcells, Buddy Ryan, they motivate you to play better than what you really are. And when you can motivate a player to go in there and play with it over his head and playing for the best, they going to give you 110% effort every time. But playing with the side of pride, man, we got that fourth finger that they hold up. That's something special. Because when I was there, we had a thing called Lord Jim. And you're going to give it everything you got and leave everything out there. When they hold the four fingers up, that's what they do. And a lot of teams cannot tangle Alabama in the fourth quarter because that's the tactic that they use.
You see this train stopping anytime soon?
No. You know, the more we win, the more people going to be against us. So we just have to wait.
Keith, you bring up a great point. Everybody's a lot of people are against us. Do you buy into that? I mean, do you see the dislike for what's happening not just in Tuscaloosa but in the Southeastern Conference?
Well, yeah, man, the Southeastern Conference is known to be one of the toughest conferences there is. And not only that, man, you get into sports writers around the country, man, it's really starting to shy away from Alabama, giving them the credit that credit is due. And anything that happened there, man, it's going to blow it out of proportion. And you got to expect that. You know what I'm saying? You got to expect that because, as they say, Miami, USC won 4 or 5 national championships. The thing is, man, when you play against the University of Alabama, even when I played, when you play against the University of Alabama, they every team amped up about 10 knots. And that right there is enough for us to be the national champions because they bring the stock, lock, and barrel, baby.